It's good to see you. I'm excited that you're here on this Labor Day weekend vacation for so many. I mean, you know, with people working 4-10s these days, it's a new dynamic now. People have a 4-day weekend instead of a 3-day weekend. So I'm just excited you're here and you're not on vacation somewhere. So it's good to see you this morning. I'm going to have to push the pause button on the beginning of my series this morning and obey God. Many of you may have saw my email that went out earlier this week about this, because I wanted everyone that couldn't be here to be watching online if possible because of what I'm about to share. What I'm about to put out in one way of saying it, unpack in another way of saying it, but in truth, I am going to speak a truth, and I am hopeful that someone will grab hold of it. If just one person is changed by what I'm about to say, every moment of what I'm about to do is worth it. If one person will step up to the plate and decide that they're going to be the one who makes the difference, then everything that I'm going to say in the next few moments is very important. And in the next few moments, if just one person feels like that everything's about to change for them, then this moment is very important. In a few moments, I'm going to give Kathy a cue, and she's going to put a photograph on the screen. Now, I need to lay down some groundwork up to that photo. And there's one below it. The photograph that you're going to see is going to be me and my brother in 1965 in Lubbock, Texas, at the Simpatico Apartments. It'll be my brother and I's first Easter at a church. And that's because my grandmother was begging my parents for a long time to let us come to church on Easter. Now, what you will not see in the photograph are two other photographs, one each with my parents, one behind us, and then the other one behind my brother and I. And to the trained eye, they will notice that both my parents are in the middle of a major hangover. And I do mean major. By the time we get out of church, my parents run to the county line, buy a case of beer, and they're already drinking before we get to the family picnic. And how many of you remember when you would picnic between the two highways in the grass areas where the trees were? Some of you have done that. Entire families would take over and cars would be parked along the freeway. And can you imagine trying to do that now? But this is the 60s. So what I am saying here is that my parents were alcoholics when my brother and I were already young. This was the common pattern of life. It was not only an alcoholic-infused life, but it was also an abusive life. And there was a narrative being written about my brother and I. A narrative that my family members didn't know that my brother and I had overheard many times. Even when we moved away from West Texas and we moved 333 miles away from them, we would continue to hear the narrative. The Smithy boys will amount to nothing. And they meant it. The Smithy boys, if they don't end up in jail, it'll be a miracle. And with the way things were going, yes. We will not be surprised if one of them ends up in prison. And the one thing we can all guarantee is they'll both be alcoholics. This was the narrative we heard over and over and over again. They'll amount to nothing. They'll never come to nothing. They'll just be nothing. They'll just be another problem just like their father and their mother. They will become their mother and father. That was the narrative that was being written. That was the narrative that was being spoken. And what was really tragic about that, so many of them were Christians speaking the narrative. Come on. That's why my brother and I struggled with Christianity because of what we were experiencing. Can you understand? That's why we've got to live above it, that negativity. But one person One person decided to rewrite that narrative. One person decided to believe what we consider a children's verse. That's not a children's verse. It's a very powerful verse of Scripture. Found in John, what? 3:16. This is how God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son so that everyone who believed in Him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent His Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through Him. We have got to realize that God sent His Son not for a group of people or a section of people in the world. He sent His Son for every person. And my grandmother, Mama Sue, got a hold of that and wouldn't let go of it. She decided that God's desire was that every person's narrative would be rewritten. My grandmother decided to hold on to the horns of the altar, and she was going to speak a new narrative. She made a decision not to listen to what was being said. She decided not to listen to the reports from close and afar. She refused to be moved by what she saw us do. And we did some stuff. And she refused to be moved by that. She was going to hang on to the horns of the altar and be that one person who was going to care enough to believe in God's word that two young men's lives could be rewritten. She didn't back down. She didn't back off. She didn't wither away because of the trials. And she was going through a lot herself. She lived through cancer twice. All the other things that happened. And she never faltered in believing what God would do. She refused. I've heard the stories of how she just refused to give in to the enemy's attacks. She was not going to get off her knees. She was going to watch what came out of her mouth. And she was going to speak a new narrative into our lives. And I'm going to tell you what, some of the reports that were making it back to Idaloo, Texas, were bad. Scary. And she never gave up. Never gave in. That's the reason why that's my number one goal in front of my kids, that they'll say, he never gave up and he never gave in. Where do you think I learned that? From my grandmother. The picture that you're going to see now up on the screen, aren't we so cute? What happened in the picture below? I don't know. This is our first Easter. And my brother, if he was standing here, would tell you the same thing. We were straining to smile. Because the verbal abuse had already begun. It was tough. We weren't asked to smile. We were threatened to smile. And we're doing what we have to do. Below is the new narrative. The two boys that were going to amount to nothing. I mean, all of them believed it. Even my cousins spoke, these boys will never make it. He's a missionary. In the jungle. He's probably wishing at times it was me in the jungle and him up here. A missionary in the jungle. I'm a pastor. All of our kids are in church. Our son-in-laws and daughter-in-laws are in church. And everybody's actively involved in ministry. Because one person, are you hearing me? One person decided to not speak negatively, but to speak the word of faith. To stand on the word of God, not let go of the horns of the altar, and rewrite that narrative. Yes, we give God all the glory. But there was a grandmother that was paying the price. Come on. And she refused to back off. Then my grandfather tells me his story as he finally engaged all that. He said there was nights in their living room, that they didn't get off their knees because they were burdened with our lives. You know what? It would be good for the church to be burdened for people who need their narrative rewritten. This morning, will you be that one person who will stand up and refuse to be moved by what you see, by what you hear, by what you feel, by what you're going through? And you're going to stand on God's word and see somebody's narrative rewritten. Will you be that one person that's going to make a difference? You've heard me say this before. Something has got to stop in the church, and that's that. Well, I'm going to be the voice of reason. That voice of reason is keeping people out of the kingdom. Be the voice of the word of God and keep the negativity out. That's the worst thing going on in the church. Something happens and we go clear to the other side in negativity. We want people that are lost to run to the church. What they need to see is people who will not be moved by what's going on. I can't wait to get to heaven to find all the people that, because my grandmother never, ever gave in or gave up, no matter what people saw or go through, I can't wait to get to heaven and find out how many people are in the kingdom because she refused not to be the one. How about us? My new series is real important, but this is most important. Will you be the one? Rochelle's going to stand and be the first to stand with me because we have family members that there's a narrative being spoken. And we refuse to accept the narrative. Amen. We're going to speak words of faith, not negativity. Amen. One of the worst things you can do around us is speak negative in the other direction, and we're going to tell you something different. Well, you're just not being, you know, you're just, no, we're being people of faith. Come on. Amen. We all want to just throw stuff away because it's easier. We need to stand on God's word. Who are you going to stand up for right now in your families? Are you going to stand and make that choice and decision? You think I'm standing up here just because, you know, we just made a lot of right choices? No. I was making every wrong choice, but it's like every time I turned around, something was re-guiding me back another direction. And I kept thinking, why is this happening? And then when later on in life, I was like, oh, it's my grandmother. Because my parents weren't going to do it. Obviously, a lot of my other family wasn't going to do it. But my grandmother was. Some of us in here are grandparents. Some of us in here are parents. You don't have to be a grandparent to make the choice. With me? You got to refuse to go by what you hear and what you see. I want to speak to everybody watching me right now. Shake yourself and get up out of that chair and sofa, wherever you're at, sitting on the back porch, whatever, if you're driving, pay attention. But get up. Choose to be the one person who engages seeing somebody's narrative rewritten. You should have seen the look on my grandmother's face when my brother and I entered ministry. And I could only try to imagine what all that effort and sacrifice and hanging on and refusing and blocking out all the stuff and days of weariness and times of probably wanting to give up, but she didn't. And now she was seeing the narrative being rewritten. You want to be a part of something like that? I do. It's a decision we have to make. Father, we come to you right now and we stand. And we're standing here in this building and online because we are choosing right now to be the one. who's going to see the narrative rewritten for our family members. We are going to refuse to let go of the horns of the altar. We're going to refuse to listen to negative talk. We're not going to accept what we see. We're going to believe the report of the Lord who says it's going to be different. Yes. Yes. Amen. That's what we're going to see. Yes. We're not going to live in a world of negativity where every little thing that happens, we blow it up. We're going to be people of faith. Yes. Yes. Who stand. Even in our weariness, we're going to stand. Yes. And believe God. My grandmother believed your promises and wouldn't let go. She believed that your son came not for a pocket of people, but to rewrite the narrative of every person on this planet. And that included her grandsons. And Father, we do the same right now. And we declare and we decree in Jesus' name, those narratives are being rewritten even this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give the Lord a just thank Him for what He's about to do. You may be seated. Now, Kathy, I'm going to warn you, I may jump all over the place because of the time. I know somebody in here, you've been cooking a brisket and you need to get home, so we'll work on that. All right. And no, don't invite me over. I'm trying to lose weight. All right. We're going to step into a series that's going to take me several weeks to cover. There'll be some other things in between as we go along, but we're going to stay with this series. I said in the email that it was a six-week series. I'm sorry, it just went to 12 weeks, so just hang on. Because God has spoken a word to me that's very important. And today I'm going to lay the foundation, and then we're going to dive in to the heart of this sermon series. In our world, men and women and companies brand their names. Used to, it was just companies branded their name. Now we got people branding their name. I mean, branding it, and if you try to use it, you're going to get sued. So names have become very, very important. Matter of fact, people will rebrand their name or their company's name just to attract more attention. Here at NEC, we had to rebrand. Not our name, but our logo, because it's unfortunate, but two churches in the northern part of the Metroplex kind of robbed our logo. I did call one of the pastors and have a conversation with him. So we changed our logo because people thought we were the church in the northern Metroplex. Our names were different, but they used the same letters, same logo. It was crazy, wasn't it? So rebranding happens to gain attention. Back in late June, in my prayer room, sitting in my prayer chair, just praying in the Spirit, just waiting on the Father, God spoke to me through the Holy Spirit. And He said, Corey, oh man, He doesn't say my name very often, but when He says my name, I'm like, the world stops. I got to pay attention. He said, Corey, my people don't really know me. They know about me in some ways, but they don't really know me. He said, Corey, said my name a second time. He actually said it three times. He said, Corey, I need you to show them who I am. They need to know me. In this time, I ran across a quote from Billy Graham. And he said, most of us know about God, but that is quite different from knowing God. Quite different than knowing God. Here's what else the Lord said to me. He said, my people need to know who I am. And Corey, here comes the third time, you know what to do. And you know what? I do. And that's why this series. I thought that the Lord would have me do part of it and then come back next year and do part. No, he said, you do all of it. I know what to do. And this is the foundation of what I know that I have to do, what I must do, so that we can draw closer to God and know him in the way that we should. And not just know about him in some ways. Now, nobody needs to, not even me. We don't need to start pumping our chest and go, I know God. How dare you say that? There's times in our walk that am I the only one who goes through it? Sometimes in my walk, I'm like, am I even saved? Come on. You know, you just kind of get down on yourself, you know. But you pick yourself up and you believe God. Pen truth. God's name equals many names that trumps all existing names. God's name equals many names, and they trump all names. They trump all words, like negative words. They trump it all. And we've got to get to know the names of our God. Not just in a crisis or a moment and you go rushing around looking for it. No, we need to know the names and be more strategic in our prayer lives, devotional lives, to use the names of God. Let me give you some key statements about this name, God. Number one, it's a name that needs no rebranding. And guess what? They're trying to rebrand it. They are. They're trying to rebrand all of Christianity, all the things of God. It needs no rebranding. It's awesome just the way it is. It's a name with many names, distinct above all names. If you haven't heard, it's a big push, even in Christendom, that there's many ways to heaven. No, one way to heaven. Above all of that. Number three, it's a name of names that covers all our needs. A name of names that covers all our needs. Number four, it's a name of names that is transcendent. Why'd you throw that in there? I don't know what that means. Transcendent, from the Collegiate Dictionary of Merriam-Webster's. Exceedingly unusual limits. Surpassing, extending, lying beyond the limits of ordinary experience, being beyond the limits of all possible experience and knowledge, being beyond comprehension. What an awesome name. What an awesome name. Number five, it's a name of names that holds all the power. But we give power to stuff we should not be giving power to. Because all the power lies in the name of the names of God. Number six, it's a name of names that can change anything. You saw the picture. The truth is, Roy and I at times lived in a very scary world. And then we were sitting here on the platform laughing and talking about what God has done because he's so good. Why? Because the name of names can change anything if we know them. One name cannot fully contain the reality of who God is. And knowing his names and what they mean are crucial. And knowing God fully. It is. It is. I'm going to read a quote from a theologian. Rochelle and I just spent 3 days with a theologian because I'm going to go back and finish my master's degree in theology. And I was earning some credits, and she got to sit on it. She didn't earn any, but I did. Yeah, we learned a lot. But I say that for this reason. If you study the Bible, we need to know the names of God. We need to know what they mean, and we need to be using them. It's critical. Pen truth. Kathy's happy I haven't jumped around yet. Pen truth. God wants us to see His true majesty and increase our trust in the name of names. In the name of names. My grandmother, we would sit around and talk about stuff in the Bible after I got saved, especially when I got in ministry, and we had some fun talks. Gramps, my grandfather, man, he wanted to talk about deep stuff, you know. And as I listened to them talk, it was amazing to hear them quote the different names of God as they were speaking to me about different situations and circumstances. And I realized my grandparents know them well, and they were praying according to those names in our behalf. Let me give you three key sermon points to this series that is really going to kick off next week. Number one, the importance of His names. God has names that will help you and I in every situation that we will ever face. I'm going to say that again. God has names that will help you and I in every situation we will ever face. Well, there's situations beyond the things in Scripture. No, they're not. That's accepting another gospel. God has everything we need. The bottom line becomes, will we believe? Okay? It's about believing and trusting and having faith. And we all know sometimes that's real hard. But I like to say this because it's true. It's always possible with God because He's bigger. It's always possible. 1 Samuel. David, he talks about some of the names. The language will be a little different, but we're going to look into them later in this series. 1 Samuel 17:45. Then David said to the Philistine, Goliath, "You come to me with a sword and a spear and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name." Come on, the name. When was the last time you got up in the middle of the night and said, "Devil, in the name of Jehovah"? Come on. And know what that means. David said, "You come to me with sword and with spear and with javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled." Dude, don't you understand? I'm standing here because I believe in the Lord of hosts. I believe that the armies of heaven are with me because I know the names of my God and I know that He is here. Now, would you like to know how deep his trust and his faith was in the Lord of hosts? Would you like to know how deep it was? Here's something you may have missed. He picked up 5 smooth stones. Well, Pastor, he did that in case he missed the first time or the second time or the third time. No. You need to study and know where David was. David picked up 5 smooth stones. Because he believed he was going to take Goliath out. And he had 4 brothers. Come on. And they were there. He was prepared to take them all out. Because he believed that the Lord of hosts was with him. The name of the Lord of hosts was with David, and he picked up 5 smooth stones. History tells us those giant brothers of his took off. Can you imagine you're sitting there going, hey, you know what? You know, if he hit him with the first one and killed him, I don't want to be the next one. Well, he might miss. I don't know. Not going to risk it. You know, I've said this before over and over again. Don't just read the Bible. Study it and live it. He believed in the Lord of hosts. Proverbs 18:10 says this, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. My question is, where are we running? Is it in the name of the strong tower or in the name of something else? Come on. That's why we've got to know the names and understand them and know what their meanings are. Because God wants to radically change our worlds through His names. His names will reveal awesome realities into our lives and bring truth to us so that we can trust God at all times. Trust God at all times and not waver. If I had it to do all over again, I've told Rochelle this, biggest mistake I ever made is not videotaping interviews with my grandparents. Got down in some nitty-gritty of what went on, what happened. I heard the stories, but hear it from them, what they experienced is they were believing God to change the narrative. And they were using His names. Number 2, God's names must be revered, honored, admired, and profoundly respected. I got one thing to say about it. I've said it 4 or 5 times today. Negativity does not honor the names of God. I'm just being honest. Faith does. Praise does. But not negative words, accepting everything that's bad. That doesn't honor the names of God. We honor the names of God by believing that in the power of His name are the names that represent all the different levels of power of things in our lives, that's what I believe. I don't believe the other. Yeah, but Pastor, it hadn't changed yet. Maybe not yet, but it will. I'm not going to give up. One time something negative happened and it ended and someone said, I guess you'll just quit standing. I said, are you kidding me? That is not going to change my future. I will believe God until my last breath. A word of wisdom. Stop letting setbacks dictate your future. Stand in the Word of God. Believe God. Somebody needed to hear that just now. His names must not be emptied of their meanings. Pastor, why would you say that? Because it's happening. It's actually happening in seminaries, Christian colleges. It is. One of the reasons I want my master's degree, and I'm going to get it done, is I want to get into some of these places and rewrite the narrative. Anybody with me? Because you got to have your master's degree to do it. I said this a few weeks ago. There may come a day I'm not pastoring, but I will never stop ministering. They must not be emptied of their meanings and discarded as unimportant. They are important. Psalms 8:1 says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. You know, when something negative comes your way, it'd be great if you just pulled that scripture out and said, no. Somebody said, that's nuts. This thing's going down. I don't care. I'm going to exalt the name of names because that name is going to bring me above what's going on, and I'm going to be exalted above this, and this thing's going to change at some point. That's the faith we got to have. Now, let me get real personal with Colin and Tiffany, and I didn't ask permission. I'm pastor, and I'm her dad, and I'm his father-in-law. And they're my associate pastors, so they're just going to have to live with what's about to happen. Listen very carefully what I'm about to say. It's very important. Tiffany got up and made her declarations last Sunday, did she not? Yes. Colin got up and made his declarations Sunday. And then they came under attack. Colin's body did. And he was back in the hospital. But they refused to accept the narrative. Are you with me? Well, I did that faith pop one time and then the whole world fell apart. Well, that's when you ramp it up. Anybody with me? You ramp it up. No, devil. No, devil. No. Yeah, but it's all right here. Doctors put it on paper. I don't care. This is going to change. Don't know how, but it's going to change. And he's sitting here now. Anybody with me? And we won't go all the details of what happened in between because a lot of people were going, okay, this is going bad in a handbasket. No, we refused to receive the narrative. Anybody with me? I'm trying to build your faith here. We need to believe God for the best. Not almost best, but the best. I bet you lost a lot of sleep. No. Because I trusted God. I knew where my daughter's faith was. I knew where Colin's faith is. I knew my God. Why should I stay up all night worrying? That doesn't help anything. Just drains you of your faith. Somebody needed to hear that too. That was free. Wasn't even in my notes. Pen truth. We must understand that the name of names is powerful, and God wants the church to engage his names personally. I pulled out one of God's names when this happened the second time with Colin, and I had it right there, and I put it in bold letters, and I went, won't mean anything to you, but it was in the process of what I was doing because I know what the word means, but I was taking it to a different level. Elohim. And I said, Elohim. Ooh. Elohim, I come before you, and I know what the name means, and I took my stand. Are y'all with me so far? Yes. It's important that we learn these names. So that means don't make this a non-priority to learn his names over these weeks when I'm teaching them. In between, we've got a guest speaker coming for our 13th anniversary coming up this month. Everybody thought we were going away during COVID. When the theater said, you can't come back. You know. So anyway. And there's some other things going on. But make this series a priority. Because we're going to dig, and I'm going to take them one name at a time. And we're going to look at them. My final statement this morning is this. This series will expose the majesty and power of the names of God. God's names will help us understand his attributes and characteristics of his nature and open new pathways to know God's ways like we have never known them before. His name of names will teach us why we can trust him with anything. This series is vital. I know some of you have probably already got things you got to do. You're not going to be here certain Sundays when I'm doing this. But I'm going to strongly encourage you to have to set within you that you're not going to do the normal thing. You're going to go listen to the message or at least catch it wherever you're at while I'm speaking. But don't let one of the names pass you by because you may have just passed by the name you need in your situation right now. So it's important that we connect with this series. I am very engaged because God spoke my name 3 times. The last time he did that, yeah, God did some cool stuff. Now, I want to leave you with this. In the opening moments of my message next week, I'm going to make what I consider a strong statement. There's a lot being said about the rapture and end times and all this stuff. You'd be surprised how many people are not even on the same page that used to be on the same page. But I'm going to make a strong statement about all of that. Address the statements of pre, mid, post. You don't want to miss what I have to say. Because I know that I've heard from God on what I need to say about that. And I'll address it more sometime next year. But it's not what God wants me to do right now. I'm a shepherd, not a hireling. So as a shepherd, I'm going to do what God tells me to do. And that's not what he wants me to do. He has released me to make a statement next week. But right now, he wants us to know him. Really know him. Now, I jump past a quote. Kathy, you can go back to the quote from J.I. Packard. He's an evangelist, was an evangelist, and a theologian. Once you become aware that the main business that you are here for is to know God, most of life's problems will fall into place on their own accord. When we start believing in the name of the names, guess what? We get to know God and things start changing. The narrative gets rewritten. Amen?